Well, we're back onto 2 Peter. We're just in the last two chapters, chapter 2 today. Next week, Palm Sunday, we're going to conclude that series. And I trust it's been a series that has helped us a greater understanding as to what God's purpose is for our lives as believers and how we fulfill that, how we carry that out in our lives. And we've discovered it's really challenging. It's really challenging. Because to be able to live God's purpose, which is to display God's nature and character in our lives as perfectly revealed in Christ, that is a big thing, as you've discovered in your life, to resemble Jesus Christ. And then on the other hand, Peter tells us we need to escape from the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And in ourselves, we don't have the power to escape from it and to transform ourselves into the likeness of Jesus Christ. But the good news of God's word is God has got the power. God has the power to enable us to do that. And he provides that power. How does he provide that power? He provides that power through knowing Jesus Christ more and more in our lives. He's the source of the power to know him, to follow him more and more in our lives. And we see that in the lives of the disciples as they were with him and they followed him. And as we trace the journey, we see there's a change in their lives from the old Peter to the Peter that we read in these letters. What a transformation. Through knowing Jesus Christ, a relationship with him, God changes us. We experience God's power. Secondly, by believing God's great and precious promises revealed in the Bible. And as we stand on these promises, and as we believe them, God changes us. As we ask God to make this promise real in my life through the power of your Spirit, he does that. And that's a process throughout a lifetime. Firstly, knowing Jesus Christ more and more. Secondly, believing God's great and precious promises revealed in his word. Thirdly, through believers making every effort to add to their faith in increasing measures, characteristics we've been looking at: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if we do these three things by God's power, trusting in him, add to our faith, believe God's promises, know Jesus Christ more and more, we will display God's nature and character in our lives. And as a result, we will give evidence to ourselves and to others that we are genuine believers. And we will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So praise God for his power that he makes available to us. He desires to display through us, make every effort to receive it through our relationship with the Lord Jesus, our relationship with God's word, and by seeking to put it into practice. God changes us. We experience God's power in our lives. Peter, in the rest of his letter, he highlights particular obstacles to believers displaying God's power and his likeness. That was what we looked at last time, through believers doubting that Christ will one day return in great power and in great glory. The return of Christ is a great hope. It's the joy of God's people. It should be. Seeing our God and our Savior face to face. What a sight that will be. To see the nail-pierced hands and side of our Savior. To know He's the one. He's our Savior, the one who gave His life for us. And to see Him face to face. To be transformed into His likeness perfectly. To experience eternal life in God's perfect kingdom. And when we've got that vision in our minds and in our hearts, we have hope. We have certain hope. We rejoice. And we want to. We're thinking, perhaps He could come today. And I need to be ready. I want to resemble Him more and more in my life. And if we know that He's coming, and we believe that He's coming, and perhaps coming soon, that spurs us on. That gives us motivation to live Christ-like lives. And Peter assures us. He says, look, this is my testimony. This is the testimony of the other apostles. We saw a glimpse in that Mount of Transfiguration. We saw a glimpse of Christ in all His glory. His face shone like the sun. His clothes were like light. And it was a glimpse of what He will, His appearing when He comes. What He will look like. Something of that. And He says, look, believers, we saw it. We saw that sight. He's coming, and He's coming in glory and in power. And then He tells them, look, He points them to the light of prophecies from God, recorded in the Bible, revealing that Christ will return in great power and glory. And He says, look, in light of that great coming event, the coming of Christ, prepare. Prepare for His coming by living Christ-like lives. Did you see, for Peter, that is what living is all about. Everything is directed to that aim of living Christ-like lives, giving glory to God, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in and through our lives, so that others will be drawn to Him, trust in Him, hope in Him, and be transformed as well. And then today we're going to look at a second obstacle. False teachers among you. It's quite clear in this picture. You can identify the wolf. But wolves can come in sheep's clothing. And that's the problem. Not so easy to identify if there was just a lineup only of sheep. And in this letter, Peter goes into great detail to spell out the DNA, the characteristics, what these false teachers are really like. Spends a whole chapter. It's a lengthy reading. How important it must be to have that understanding. How harmful they must be to the church of Jesus Christ. So he says, through the danger of false teachers secretly introducing destructive heresies into the minds and hearts of God's people. Peter warns of such a danger at the time of his writing. That's a way back, AD 62 to 64. He says it will take place. He's absolutely convinced about that. And we know that when we weigh that up with Matthew 24 about the signs of Christ coming. And it says that false prophets and teachers will continue their destructive work right up to the time of Christ. So in every day and generation, Satan is busy. From day one, whispering his lies, Satan is active. When he knows his time is short, he's all the more active. False teaching, false teachers are spreading the destructive lies and heresies in the church of Jesus Christ. We need to be on our guard today against false teachers. The supreme desire of the false teachers is freedom to be and do what they want to do. That is the heart. That's the heart of it. Freedom to be. Chapter 2, verse 10. They follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and they despise authority. Any authority, any law which restricts their freedom in any way, they will resist. They will attack. They will seek to remove. They will seek to change. And because God, the highest and the greatest authority, is opposed to sinful desires and sinful living, and we've seen that in Peter, he wants to liberate us from them, from the destructive effect upon our lives. The false teachers, they will exert all their powers, all their hatred against God, against God's name, against God's character, against God's teachings. They will seek to bring him down. We read about that in verse 11. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Verse 1, even denying the sovereign Lord. They want to bring him down. They want to be in control. They want to have the power and they want to have the authority themselves. Not content in attacking God and his authority themselves, they desire others to do the same. It's not because they care about people. We learn that from seeing the character of Satan in the Bible. He doesn't care about them. It's because they want to gain power. And they want to gain prosperity. And they want to gain pleasure through it. And we read about that in verse 3. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Verse 14, with eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed. And the false teachers entice people to follow them by clever words, by deception, by promising great things, promising freedom. But their words, their promises are empty, they're lies, and they themselves, they're slaves of depravity. Sin and Satan is their master. And they spread their destructive heresies secretly. Wasn't immediately recognized as heresy. Their destructive heresies were cloaked. They were concealed under the disguise of promoting true freedom. Satan's deception of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was cloaked under the guise of promoting true wisdom. You will be wise like God. Or true godliness. You will become like God, knowing good and evil. Destructive heresies can be concealed under a noble quest. And when you hear that quest, I'm for that. Who would not be for truth or wisdom or freedom or love? But it's just cloaked. That's not the true agenda of what is going. And they don't have the power. And they're turning away from the truth. Peter highlights four destructive things about false teaching. The first is false teaching pollutes. False teaching distorts the truth. Verse 2, truth is brought into disrepute. It's blasphemed. Truth is like a beautiful rose that God has given to us to admire. But the false teachers, they tamper with it. they take it apart and they want to rearrange it. And tampering with it affects its fragrance and its beauty. And pretty soon it's not like a rose anymore. It's lost its beauty and its fragrance. They've distorted it. They've tampered with it. False teaching has that effect. It pollutes. It distorts the truth. Secondly, it leads to a moral breakdown in our character and lifestyle. There is a saying, sow a thought. If you sow a thought, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character into the ground of your hearts, you reap a lifestyle. It's saying that there are consequences to turning away from the knowledge of God. We see that in Romans chapter 1. Rejecting God's knowledge results in futile, empty thinking, depraved minds, darkened hearts, sinful desires, shameful lusts, and the degrading of our bodies. It's a downward spiral. Peter reveals the same downward spiral in the false teachers that we read about. Verse 12, they become creatures of instinct, like brute beasts. Their minds have been darkened. Verse 17, they are springs without water. They're empty, their emptiness inside. Verse 14, their eyes are full of adultery. They are mists driven by a storm. And that storm is sinful desires, shameful lusts. And behind it all was Satan. He's pulling the strings. He's feeding these desires and lusts through the world, the temptation in the world. So abandoning God and his truth is not progressive or enlightenment. They might want to give that impression that it is, but it's the reverse. It's not enlightenment, freedom, progression. It's degression. It's darkness. It's bondage. But it's cloaked. But God's word enables us to see. We see the effect. We see its impact on people's lives. So false teaching leads to a moral breakdown in our character, in our lifestyle. And it's the same as what we've been learning, isn't it? As we come to know God and as we know his word, as we come to his truth, and we're connected to God's power through his spirit, it changes our lifestyle, doesn't it? We live a godly life. We live a good life. But if you're connected, if you disconnect yourself from God, it's only downward spiral. And it starts with thoughts and ideas and attitudes, but will end up with our actions as well. False teaching leads to a moral breakdown in our character, in our lifestyle. It also, what's destructive is it influences others to do the same. Verse 2, many will follow their shameful ways. And we see that in children who quickly imitate parents or their friends at school or what they see on TV or social media. In fact, we're all molded and shaped by what we watch, what we read, what we listen to on a regular basis. And we all influence others by our example. Whether we mean to influence others or not, we influence others. And it's challenging because it says many believers will follow their shameful ways. We can influence each other in the church as well. And what is even more serious, we can lead others into sin ourselves. And people say, well, if he or she does it, then it must be okay. And particularly if they're in a position of leadership and responsibility in some way, then it must be okay. If they do it, it must be okay. Heresy is destructive because it influences others to follow our example. False teaching is destructive because it leads to destruction. And Peter gives three examples of this taking place. First of all, God's not sparing of angels when they sinned. We read, in pride, following Lucifer, seeking to overthrow God. God sent them into hell, put them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. Secondly, God's sending of the flood upon the ungodly in Noah's day. For 120 years, Noah had been preaching to them. They'd laughed at him and his talk of a flood, but God was true to his promise of destruction. Everyone outside the ark was destroyed. And thirdly, the third example was God sending fire and brimstone upon the ungodly in Sodom and Gomorrah, and only Lot and his two daughters were saved. Their husbands didn't believe them. They thought he was joking. Abraham pleaded for God to save those places. If there were only 10 righteous, in the end, there was only 3. Apart from receiving righteousness through Christ, there is no way of salvation. Outside of Christ, you are heading for destruction. And it's a day of judgment that is coming for those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise God's authority. It's heading towards judgment. It's heading towards destruction. We need to have our eyes open to our true state before God and our destiny in light of that, and to see Jesus Christ as our Savior. I remember at art school, we were given a project to illustrate the workings of a pop-up book, right? And people were picking all different types of themes. And I had been listening to some Christian music. Steve Camp, quite very strong about, it's either fire or ice. You're either out in the world or you're following Christ. And it was really quite challenging. So I decided I would try to come up with a pop-up piece of work that would express my faith. And I designed it around the idea of a helter-skelter that was going down. And at the end, at the bottom, was Satan. And people were on this helter-skelter. They were having a great time. They were at the fair, life, you know. Eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow. For tomorrow we die. And not aware that in the future, God's judgment. But they had this pathway that was breaking across everyone's path. And it was the shadow of the cross. And the shadow of the cross gave people hope of a change in direction to save us from destruction. So this was all expressed in my pop-up book. And you can just imagine there was a lot of coughs going along. And so this thing opened up. You saw the helter-skelter. You saw people going down. You saw Satan with his, like a serpent, mouth open to snatch them and devour them. And then there was this shaft of light and the cross that was shining across people's paths, giving them an opportunity. And I just pulled that out recently. I was looking through my sketch pad. I've got this up sitting upstairs now. It's in a visual way, it depicts this is people's destiny. This is what it's like. And sometimes we need that graphic image, something like that, to awaken us. There was a lady called Amy Carmichael, and she had a dream. And she saw people walking through this fog, this mist, and then they came to a cliff edge and they went over into destruction. And she depicted this, she wrote this poem, and this is about people being awakened. And through this poem that she wrote was to awaken people to the reality of what's waiting ahead if you reject the authority of God and you live the way that you are in this sinful, corrupt state that you can't change and you're blinded to the reality of it in your life. And that's why people need the gospel. And that's why we are needed to share the gospel and our lives to embody the gospel, to live the gospel, so that people can be alerted, people can be awakened, and people can find that there's an alternative to life as it is the majority who are living, which is the broad road going to destruction. And that's why false teachers are so dangerous. Because they are blinding people to the truth. You don't need the freedom of the gospel, they would say. You don't need God's wisdom. And then they're diverting people and they're enslaving them in a greater way in their lives into bondage. And in Scripture, we see the need for being on our guard. Acts 20, verse 30, Paul warns the elders in Ephesus, after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw disciples after them. So be on your guard. And we see this drawing away occurring in the church at Corinth. The church was divided into different camps. Those who followed Paul, those who followed Apollos or Cephas, and others who said, I follow Christ. We need to be on our guard against division in the church. And the means of division can be very deceptive. And Satan is so inventive. His ways of splitting up a group of people, it can be through personalities. It can be through gossip that is not true. And then you believe it. And then you are then think ill of others. And it's maybe not even the truth in the first place. Or he gets you distracted. There are so many ways that Satan can split people apart. God wants us to be united, one heart and mind and purpose. And that's when we're strong and that's when we're effective as a church. So we have to be, not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, though, what he's trying to do in the life of God's people. We see the importance of knowing the truth. If you know the truth, the truth will set you free. It will expose the errors. And we need to pray for discernment and be discerning as a fellowship. On your own, you're more likely to be deceived. We need the light of Scripture. We need the light that God's Spirit can bring. And we need the courage to stand up. Stand up for Christ. Comes back to what we said at the beginning. We need God's power. It's God's power. Through following Christ, through standing on this word, through adding to our faith and doing that together as a body of people, we become a light. We become a voice, a real voice. And people see that light and they hear that voice through the changed lives, not words merely, changed lives. That's a voice. When they see that, that's powerful. And they want to come closer and say, what's this all about? It's a food hub, but it's more. It's more than a food hub. What's this spiritual bit, this love and this care for people and what they're telling us about Jesus? You know, So, we need to be on our guard. We need wisdom. We need discernment. We need to get to know the truth. And God can open our understanding. That was Paul's prayer, you know, that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they would know God better, know the hope that is given us, know the power. And that power is like the power that God raised Jesus from the dead to the highest place, put everything under his feet for the sake of his church. That power, through Christ, through his word, through God's spirit, can change our lives, ongoing change our lives. That gives us hope, doesn't it? It gives us hope. And it gives us joy. We're going in the right direction. We're not just a scattered group here. We're the church. We're God's people. No, we're going to inherit a kingdom. No, we've got eternal life here. No, we've got hope beyond the grave. Jesus is coming back. But also, there are others who need to hear it. They're lost. They need to hear it. I know the truth. I can tell them. I can pray for them. I can show love to them. And along that journey, you might have the joy of leading them to Christ. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? God could do that in your life. He could do that in my life. That's amazing. Satan would say, nah, not you. Not you. Them, maybe. But not you. Not you. So, let's... breaks on. There's enough for us to think about here. And let's just... we're going to turn to...